You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning in the studio we've got Kendra Cox from the School of Counselling, Human Services and Social Work. Kia ora Kendra, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm well, how are you?
Good, it's great to have you in here today. You've been doing some really fascinating master's research with a critical kaupapa Māori analysis of pre-World War II childcare and protection systems in Aotearoa and the way it's kind of related to the colonial project, I guess, in this country. Do you want to walk us through that mahi a little bit, because it sounds fascinating?
Yeah, absolutely. So really what my research was looking at was the different kind of strands of the early care and protection system. Before World War II, it was mostly informal, but really what I was looking at was the role of missionaries and mission schools, the early native school system, Māori church boarding schools, and early kind of care and protection legislation, and how this aided both the settler colonial project and really importantly as well, the implementation of capitalism in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. Okay, so I'm sure, if it's a master's research project, you know there's a lot to dive into here, but in a kind of a pocket way, what is its relationship to capitalism? Because that's a big concept that we live under. How do these schools kind of feed into that in this country?
Yeah. So what was really interesting about this research is that what a lot of other researchers, and academics have already kind of looked at is the ideological functions of these mission schools and native schools and how, they kind of created a psychology within ngā iwi Māori, Māori communities, to kind of become brown-skinned British colonial citizens, right?
Totally.
But also what they did was they sort of created the push, I guess, for Māori to become working class, to enter into the capitalist mode of production, so to become workers, and specifically an underclass of workers, so to do things like forestry, farm labour, to become servants and households. For Māori women, there was a huge kind of focus on Māori girls and women to become good sort of Christian housewives and mothers and to raise tamariki Māori to become working class as well. And also really important was to kind of capture Māori economy and kind of Māori collectivism, which was focused on the maintenance of the hapu and of whānau, and to turn that outward and to produce sort of resources and commodities, both for the market and for the maintenance, of capitalism in Aotearoa.
Far out. That is pretty hefty. And, fascinating as well to be walking into that space where, as you say, the ideology is something that I think probably a lot of people have at least a sort of a bit of an understanding of what those, missionary schools kind of were trying to do. Yeah. But that lends on what it meant for the money systems of New Zealand and that kind of functionality is really fascinating. This is also very much directly linked to where we're at today as well.
Right.
So we've seen a lot in the news recently around Oranga Tamariki, around what the government's trying to do with Te Tiriti at the moment.
Right.
What, from your position as an academic who's been, researching in this space, do you see as the link between this mahi that you've been doing and what we're seeing in the news cycle at the moment?
Yes, so the biggest and clearest link to me would be the current repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, which the government has put on the table. So Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, it's really called the Duties of the Chief Executive in relation to the Treaty of Waitangi. And so part of what Section 7AA means is that social workers, lawyers and judges, when they're making care and protection decisions about tamariki Māori, have to hold the whakapapa ties and the whanaungatanga ties of Māori children to their whānau and iwi. And as well as that, what's really important about Section 7AA is the strategic partnerships. So this gives a legislative, or it kind of crystallises in law the fact that Oranga Tamariki has to enter into partnerships with iwi Māori. So they have partnerships with Tūhoe, Ngāti Kahunganu, Ngāpuhi, as well as Māori organisations like the Māori Women's Welfare League to create, different systems and steps towards power sharing, resources, funding, as well as the power to make decisions about the care and protection of Māori children.
So the government's pitching it as an apolitical decision.
That's right.
Which is a wild thing for any government to suggest that any decision's apolitical. But what does that mean when they say that? And is it true? Is it, do you see that as like being a fair call from the government?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, as anyone who has done a social sciences or law degree can attest to, you know, political decisions and laws are always political. They are always rooted in ideology, and they always have a deeper meaning than just what they say on the surface, right?
Totally.
But in particular, this repeal of Section 7AA is part of the government's wider ideological attacks on Māori, which we can see through, as you were speaking to earlier, you know, the Treaty Principles referendum, the destruction of Te Aka Whai Order, the Māori Health Authority, the attack on Māori wards and local government as well. So definitely part of their wider sort of political plan.
So if we look at your research, like what bells are being rung in your mind? Because, you know, history repeats, those cycles do come back round. So what are you kind of seeing from the work that you've been looking into with where we're at today? What are parallels or sort of shared ideas have you kind of observed?
Great question.
Put you on the spot with that one, sorry. But
that's all right. Yeah. I really think the main parallels that come out is just, again, how much this colonial system, you know, attempts to make kind of paternalistic decisions about Māori families, Māori caregiving, and again, to always continually impose, you know, both the government's will and how the government, you know, in my research, it was looking a lot at the ties between the state and capitalism, and that continues today, and how those things repeat over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Fascinating research. Where are you at with your own research, Mahi, at the moment? Is it finished? Do you still got a little bit left to do on it? Or
nope, that is well and truly done. Soon I'll be doing my PhD as well. Which won't be looking exactly at kind of child protection, but will again be looking at the kind of harm that's being done to Māori communities.
Mm. Well, we're in the conversation that we're seeing in the media or in politics at the moment around things like the repeal of Section 7AA. Do you think there's a public understanding of what these mean on a broader scale or not, or a little bit of both? What's your sort of perspective on that?
I think that it really depends, you know, on where you fall, both in terms of your identity, your ethnic background, your cultural background, and on your sort of, wider understanding of politics and why this government, you know, is launching these attacks on Te Ao Māori. We saw with the activation last Thursday, you know, tens of thousands of iwi Māori and people in solidarity with us turned out, you know, to say, no, we're not going to stand for this in the government. And I was at the Aotea Square hekoi here, and there was a bit of a nod to Section 7AA and the harm that this will do to Māori communities. And, you know, as I said before, the steps towards power sharing, which is really what Section 7AA represents, and that's why Māori are absolutely going to fight to retain it.
Absolutely. Well, Kendra, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us about your research and about what we're seeing roll out here in Aotearoa at the moment. Kendra Cox from the School of Counselling, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland. Have a great rest of your day.
Kia ora.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.